in case there's any doubt. We want you to know we are the greatest. Yes, we are, because Jesus told us so. Yes, Jesus told us so. Yes!
In the poor neighborhoods of Ardoyne in North Belfast, kids learn from an early age that their neighbors are different. It's clear whom the streets belong to. Hundreds of British Union Jack flags flap in the wind, but a few blocks away, they turn into the green, white, and orange stripes of Ireland, and plastic statues of the Virgin Mary stand guard in tiny front lawns. It's a sunny Thursday morning in one of Belfast's flagship schools. The children are dressed in navy blue sweatshirts marked with a white dove and the name Hazelwood Integrated Primary School.
4 minutes left.
Teacher Jim McDade asks his class if they know what makes their school different.
Omar?
It's different because Protestants and Catholics and all different religions can all join together and all sit beside each other and eat together and have fun together.
In theory, Northern Ireland's schools are open to everyone, but just like the surrounding neighborhoods, in practice, they are deeply segregated places. Protestant and Catholic children sharing tables in a fifth grade class wouldn't raise an eyebrow in most parts of the world, but Northern Ireland isn't one of them.
My neighborhood is a Catholic. There's a lot of people walk around smashing balls and stuff on my street just because they don't like us.
When the peace agreement was signed 10 years ago, there was a lot of hope that the segregation would fade away. It hasn't. Advocates of integrated education believe that since communities aren't coming together on their own, that their schools are now the way forward for Northern Ireland, that educating children side by side will finally end the segregation and mistrust that has torn their country in two.
They're still praying to God, but it's in a different way, so I don't see why they fight.
The families who took this step still have a lot on the line. Four children from Hazelwood have lost their lives from sectarian fighting after the violence was supposed to stop. The brutality has left its mark in the kids who attend these schools.
So these behaviours and attitudes are learned, and unfortunately they're learned on the laps of their grandmothers, their mothers, their fathers. Despite the fact that we're living in a situation that's free from violent conflict at the point of a gun or by using bombs, we don't have that any longer. However, there's a legacy of that. In the absence of the violence, the mistrust is still there.
Hazelwood is an island. The first integrated school opened in 1981, just after the height of the Troubles, and Hazelwood joined it 4 years later. They opened in 1985 with only 56 students. Back then, parents had to choose to send their children to schools where they were at risk of being targets of violence.
And those children had to be escorted to school every day by armed police.
May Blood is a community activist and member of the British Parliament.
But they had to be escorted to school because there was a threat. They were going to shoot the parents. They were going to shoot the pupils, and so there was a real threat. And going to school in those days took real bravery.
To school again, behind the shields, the batons, and the burned-out cars, the tension was just as high as yesterday. The children were still clearly frightened.
Despite the years since, Hazelwood is still only one of 60 integrated schools in the entire country, serving about 5% of all of Northern Ireland's school children.
And today in Northern Ireland, we would have round about a 90% segregated community, people living in their own area, people being schooled in their own area, and a number of us took the decision perhaps that we needed to look at the education system. If we're ever going to break the rail barriers down in Northern Ireland, then we're going to have to do it through our children. And the only way we'll be able to do that, in my opinion, is by school.
But here, that's not an easy task. Blood says the decades of segregation are too deep-rooted to fade so soon.
I was born in Belfast in 1938, just before the outbreak of the Second World War. As I say, those were days when there was no talk of trouble, there was no talk of division.
But around 1969, she saw her peaceful country turn violent. Paramilitary groups like the Irish Republican Army and the Ulster Volunteer Force took up arms in the once quiet neighborhoods. Bombs ripped through the city center.
Friday, 21st of July, 1972. 22 bomb explosions went off within a mile of Belfast city centre. Nine people were killed, 130 injured, blown quite literally to pieces.
Every day, and back in the 80s, coming up into the 90s, there was a shooting, a bombing, police officers being killed, children being attacked in school buses. It was an everyday occurrence. And as I say, you got up in the morning, you put the radio on, and you just hope to God, God forgive us, we hope the atrocity didn't happen in our area, that it happened in somebody else's.
In the 1970s, British troops started building fences to protect Belfast's people from violence. The fences became permanent walls separating places where Protestant and Catholic neighbourhoods bump against each other. The walls are often painted with scenes of masked gunmen and give stark warnings as to who runs the community inside. They are called peace lines, although they give the impression of anything but peace. They didn't always stop the violence either.
Rival factions clashed last night on the Whitewell Road near Arthur Bridge on the outskirts of North Belfast. Fire officers were called in to deal with petrol bombs as homes on the White City estate came under attack.
Whitewell Road's long and winding hills cut through the heart of the trouble zone in Belfast. It splits Protestant and Catholic communities in two, and walls pocket the neighbourhood to protect sleeping families from bombs. Today, that road is also home to Hazelwood School.
Certainly people have been burnt out of their homes, people have been intimidated out of their homes, and even to this day we have children who won't walk down the Whitewell Road.
Hazelwood's principal, Jill Houston, has been working in the integrated education movement since it began in the early 1980s.
If I asked some of my children here to walk down the Whitewell Road, they wouldn't do it now, today.
Houston knows how much progress the movement has made, but is not blind to the risks of putting kids side by side.
We've had four children murdered within half a mile of this school. 5 years ago, a little boy was riding a bike and had a mother from another estate. I thought he'd thrown a stone at him, so she reversed over him and killed him. Then after that, a child from the other estate where he'd come from was shot dead and murdered in retaliation. These are all children from our school.
In 2008, two houses in the neighbourhood next to Hazelwood were attacked with stones and homemade gasoline bombs.
The children came to our school. They were burnt out of their houses while they slept in. Three children in their beds at night, the house completely gutted.
Though attacks like these rarely break the country's relative peace, not a single peace line has been taken down. Last year, a new one was built, right here, on the grounds of Hazelwood School.
There it is. It's up here, so that's our fence there. But that's a pretty good looking security fence, isn't it? It's not so ugly, sure it's not.
It may be better looking than some of the walls that cut through Belfast, but it is still a reminder of the challenges this school faces. The fence runs just a few yards away from Jim McDade's classroom. His students don't know much about the Troubles. Most were born right as the last few bombs dropped in the late 1990s and have had the rare chance to mix with people from the other religion.
The Northern Ireland you're growing up in is very different from the Northern Ireland I grew up in. When I grew up, certainly, there was a lot of mistrust between the two largest communities in Northern Ireland were Protestant and Catholic. And we lived quite separate lives. We went to different schools, obviously. Most of them still do. We started to live in different communities, different areas. And I don't think I actually met a Protestant until I went on to university.
He wants his kids to know that they're special. He tells them how they defy the norm in Northern Ireland.
And yet, I have a daughter now, you know Aoife, she's four. And I'm very keen for Aoife to meet people of different faiths and different cultures, different traditions. And I don't think if I send her to another school, she would get that opportunity. So she's getting that opportunity, just as your mothers and fathers give you that opportunity when you were four, when you were cute, James.
Though they've sat side by side with students from different religions for about 8 years now, stereotypes and misunderstandings still feed into each child's psyche. He does a class exercise every year to see how far the misinformation spreads.
But I'm intrigued and interested in what you feel it means to be a Protestant, or what it means to be a Catholic. Now, did he go to different churches? Did he believe in different things? Did he wear different clothes? Do they have different holidays? Do Protestants mostly have a hair colour? What about their eyebrows? Their nostrils?
The kids start to write down what they know about their classmates' lives and personalities.
Like, they wear different clothes, like different music and sports.
And they go to different churches and they have different communities.
But on the playground, flags or Bibles no longer seem to matter as kids fight over rubber balls and girls gather in clusters to jump rope.
Some of it is obvious that they can pick up on, like religion, sport. When you separate two communities, it's just a fertile ground for prejudice and discrimination to take a foothold. So we like to think we're challenging it here.
It takes a huge amount of effort to open new schools in this country, where desks sit empty across the cities and suburbs. The government says it would like to open new integrated schools, but there is already plenty of room in traditional classrooms. But a group of parents and teachers called the Northern Ireland Council for Integrated Education, or NICE, is undeterred. They raise money, find resources, and push the government to form new integrated schools, often with less than 20 students. But not everyone in the community is so supportive of their efforts.
Well, you see, I think people sometimes were in the position of, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Denise Morgan decided to send her daughter to a brand new integrated primary called Cedar in the early 1990s.
You know, these people do not see what I see. They're happy to stay in these old traditional positions of Catholics going to one school, Protestants going to another school. It just doesn't make sense.
Morgan became so involved that she is now a development officer with NICE and helps other parents open integrated schools in their neighbourhoods.
You think if I'd sent my daughter to a Catholic school the whole way through her education, it would have been different? Absolutely. You can hear it in the way they debate with their friends, the way they talk with their friends. I've heard my daughter challenging people on stereotypical attitudes they have at the age of 12. I've actually got a poem she wrote. What colour is your judgment? J is for judgment, use it wisely. U is for unfairness, it's easy to see. D is for depression.
For Morgan, her daughter's words prove that integrated education was the right choice for her family.
T is for together, I hope we'll all be that soon.
July brings a small heat wave to the cool, damp country. But July is also a troubled and violent month in Northern Irish history. The annual Protestant Orange Parade marches through Belfast streets in celebration of Prince William of Orange's defeat of the Catholic army in 1690. The 12th of July celebration often pits children against each other. Catholic children throw stones as their Protestant neighbors march through the streets. Massive bonfires light up the sky. Fights break out. Riots and injuries are still rife throughout the weekend, despite the recent calm. Holy Cross Catholic School in Ardoyne has organized a soccer tournament to keep their children off the streets and out of trouble during the holiday. 14-year-old James Osborne is a volunteer at the tournament.
During this weekend, it was all filled with bricks, glass bottles, burnt cars and stuff like that there. But now with us here, 3 years on, it has changed a big time, big lot. Yeah, it is better.
There's a good turnout at the final match. Parents and younger siblings cheer from the sidelines of Holy Cross's rundown school grounds, just a block away from Ardoyne's Protestant neighborhood. There is still a lot of tension in Ardoyne, and Reverend Aidan Troy thinks his community isn't quite ready to embrace integration.
You will obviously get people who have been very deeply hurt. For instance, 99 people were killed in this little community here during the Troubles. So I think I can understand when somebody says, no, I'm not letting my child go into that because my brother or my father or somebody was shot dead. You have to take them where they are.
Reverend Troy hopes that in a few years, the community will be ready to play teams from the other side of the road.
It says that, like, you know, in football, you don't have Catholic teams and Protestant teams. At least you shouldn't. You should just have good football teams. And that's the message we're trying to get across.
But for now, the Catholic kids play alone to stay out of trouble on their neighbor's Protestant holiday. Back at Hazelwood, Principal Jill Houston is finally without her smile as the cold grey sun disappears into Belfast's Grand Lake.
We had a plan on integration by 2010. We wanted 10% of the population to be in integrated education. I don't think we're going to meet that target. We have tried for 20 years and we would get maybe 2 or 3 years peace. And something happens and it degenerates for about 2 years and goes back into a difficult situation. And then we try again and we try again, and we've just constantly kept trying again because people in Northern Ireland are not very quick to forgive.
And, as May Blood points out, the walls, like the one dividing Hazelwood and its neighbours, are still in place.
And it divides, humanly divides people in their own minds. There's a brick wall there. Now, I know some of your fellow country people would be very keen to see them walls coming down. So would I. But I think we have to start with the walls that's in people's minds first. And if we can get children early enough, then I think in 10 or 15 years, the walls, the peace walls, won't be a problem because people will want them down.
Hands up, who's got a girlfriend who's a different religion from yours? Just Dean.
He's not here.
Dean, you had your hand up.
In Belfast, Northern Ireland, I'm Caitlin Fenaro.